This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
For this month's JodBite, I have with me Dr. Bob Watson, who works at the University of Manchester and is part of the Planck collaboration. So welcome, Bob.
Oh, hello, welcome to you too.
Thank you. We're going to talk about Planck and also Bicep 2. And I know you've been working on some of the data from both of these telescopes. So maybe you could first of all tell us a little bit about what Planck and Bicep 2 actually are.
Okay, well, they're both cosmic microwave background experiments looking at the radiation left over from the Big Bang, the earliest electromagnetic radiation you can see in the universe, and has frozen into it the fossils of all the structure that goes on to make the universe that we see today.
Wow. So it's sort of our best handle on the nature of the early universe.
Yes, it's sort of a snapshot, so you can sort of see how all the matter is distributed. The universe is much simpler and much easier to understand, so you can figure out the initial conditions, and then all the messy stuff with galaxy formation starts later.
And Planck and Bicep 2 were both recording this cosmic microwave background, but not quite in the same way.
No, in that the Planck is a satellite parked out in L2 beyond the orbit of the Moon, and it scans the whole sky, whereas Bicep is located in the South Pole and makes a very deep, sensitive measurement over about 400 square degrees, whereas with Planck we're over the full celestial sphere.
And you're working on the Planck data. So how was it that you came to be involved in Bicep as well?
When the Bicep results were announced back in March last year, the paper was read with great interest, and one of the obvious things that was lacking in it was the dust treatment.
So maybe we should explain that's a foreground.
Yes, sorry.
So
they worked with the available data they had at the time, and we knew that our data showed that the dust was more polarized, so that their basic assumption of a fairly low amount of polarization signal from the dust, we knew wasn't quite right. Although at the time we weren't entirely positive, because we were in the process of reducing that data at the same time.
So the Planck data, you were talking about how it sort of showed the structure of the universe. So as well as imagining the sort of spatial structure of it in the sky, you're also having a look at the polarization. So the actual orientation of the electromagnetic waves as they come towards us.
Yes, well, that's one of the sort of next steps in cosmic microwave observations, is to look at this polarization signal. So you can get this polarization signal from the very early universe due to scattering of electrons. So if there's any sort of intrinsic anisotropy when this radiation was emitted, you'd see it in the polarization signal. But locally, we have small dust grains in the magnetic field of the galaxy, which would tend to align with the magnetic field, and so they emit more one hand of polarization than the other, because they're basically like spinning plates, as it were,
right.
Little platelets. So they emit more in one direction, one hand of polarization than another.
And so is it that they are absorbing the cosmic microwave background and then re-emitting it? Or is it just they're emitting something that's kind of coming over the top and is in the way?
So the dust are adding, they got their own signal. So the dust is heated by the radiation coming off our own Milky Way galaxy. And then that's being re-emitted back towards us.
So then you were subtracting this off. And why was it that people were getting excited about the polarized signal that may or may not have existed in the cosmic microwave background? This is really at the heart of the whole Bicep announcement, isn't it?
Yes, because there was great expectation to see this signal. So it's a very particular sort of polarized signal. It's called B-mode, which is a sort of a slightly spirally type pattern you see, rather than the standard circles and radial patterns you get from scattering off the plasma recombination was when the universe became transparent. What these unlocked was you was enable you to see the primordial gravitational waves that we expected to to come from inflation, a sort of smoking gun for inflation, so that all the particle physicists and all the cosmologists were really keen to see this signal.
Why is it that inflation is so exciting and yet elusive?
Well, it's so exciting in that it sort of explains many things about things we see in the cosmology, the cosmic microwave background, which you couldn't explain otherwise. So one of the problems is quite how two different sides of the universe know to be at roughly the same temperature, because you saw these two signals have been propagating where you are at this moment. So you look in two opposite directions and you see they're practically the same temperature. So classically, there's no way to explain it because they're unconnected up until that point. What inflation does, it gives you this rapid burst of super fast expansion, which means that a region of space which was connected has become so blown up, it's sort of pushed it to the other sides of the observable universe. So they're now reconnecting again at the present.
Inflation is helping us to explain how the universe has sort of got so big.
It's got so big and so flat. That's the other thing, is that we see the universe is very close to being the critical density, which is where the sort of negative gravitational energy of the universe exactly matches the positive left in matter and kinetic energy. So it's quite nice. But the problem is, you go back in time, you get closer and closer to the critical density. So you want a mechanism that sort of makes that automatically for you, and inflation does that for you.
And so the BICEP2 team, they thought that they'd discovered these polarized signals that indicated that inflation was real, and it got into the popular media and everything, and everyone was saying, inflation, it happened. So how was it with the Planck results that this sort of idea started to kind of unravel?
Well, I think people at the time recognized that this dust foreground was the sort of Achilles heel of their article, and sort of people started making analyses where it relaxed the dust, and that reduced the importance of the result. We in Planck, well, mainly our HFI colleagues, I work on the low frequency side, who could quantify the dust polarization. So they were working already on a paper to looking into it precisely this, although not on these extremely dust poor regions. So they knew that there was sort of polarization of the dust could be up to 10%, whereas the BICEP people were working at an assumption of sort of up to 4%. All these things are done in terms of power spectrum, which is the square of the temperature. That's almost like an order of magnitude, which is about the sort of magnitude you needed to explain the difference between their foreground model and what's actually seen.
And when the BICEP2 result came out, of course, the Planck results hadn't come out yet, so officially you had to be silent about it. But did you think when that result came out that there was some doubt about it? Because the way it sort of ended up getting presented at the beginning was like sort of quite definite, and it was only later that the doubts seemed to start to creep in. But did you, when you looked at it, think, hang on, this might be a little bit questionable?
Yes, I did. I did at the time. We couldn't say anything for a couple of reasons, in that the data wasn't yet ready. We could do back-of-envelope calculations that suggested there was a problem, but we couldn't really say anything until we actually had got the data to a suitable point where there was no possible doubt.
So then you were obviously able to get together with members of the BICEP team. And what was it about Planck? You already alluded to high frequency and low frequency, so that might be the key. But what was it about Planck that enabled you to get a handle on what this foreground polarized emission was?
Right, well, the main problem with the BICEP approach was that it had one frequency, which was 150 gigahertz. And the great thing about Planck is it has nine different frequencies, although only five of them are polarized. You could actually decompose your foregrounds by a process called component separation, because you've got so many frequency bands. So the critical one was the dust. We could characterize the dust quite well in terms of frequency. The only problem was the sensitivity. So we could characterize the dust down to quite low levels, And we could measure its dependence with frequency, and it's also its distribution on the sky. So there was a paper that came out a couple of months before we started collaborating with the BICEP people, which was Planck Triple X, whereby they established that there was a problem. There wasn't enough sensitivity in Planck alone to establish clearly in the BICEP region there was a problem. So the only way we could do that was by doing a direct comparison of their data with our data.
So now it's come to this point where it's possible to explain the polarized emission as being by the foreground dust. Does that make you feel happy? Because you've got to the bottom of it. Does it make you feel a bit sad because they haven't quite managed to prove inflation yet?
Well, both. A bit of both. In that having a nice strong B mode signal would have been very interesting, although it was a bit too high to tell the truth. It's a bit sad in that we, once again, we sort of got to a point where we've sort of ruled out an interesting thing, so we're back to the sort of more boring scenario of having to dig a bit deeper, and it's going to be hard work to try and push down to lower B modes.
So is there any hint that you could subtract off that polarized foreground and then hope to see the evidence of inflation in the data, or is that going to be a case of a new experiment or just more time?
Another experiment. The BICEP people are working with the Keck people, who are putting together some quite fantastic sensitive arrays at different frequencies. So the combined BICEP and Keck data, theoretically, if there wasn't any dust, would be able to get down to an R of 0.03 or 0.05, depending on how you approach it. So that's sort of like an order of magnitude better. Okay. But yes, but you need equivalent exponents that also disentangle the dust signal. Planck's not quite sensitive enough because it's all sky. So you need other exponents working at sort of slightly higher to get the dust signal and slightly lower to get a cleaner foreground.
But now we've got the ability, or at least an improved ability, to remove that dusty foreground, then that presumably opens the way in the next few years for these experiments to perhaps come up with evidence of inflation then?
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's the current main thrust of CMB observations, is to try and get that B mode signal. So the sort of plans to get down to the 0.01 level of this ratio of scalar modes to tensor modes, which is the way this signal is characterized.
Brilliant. Well, I wish you very good luck with that, and also, I guess, with all the other results from Planck's polarization maps that will be coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.